Blog Hello Talk Radio.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
I got you back now.
Yes. Here we
are. Perfect. Well, I definitely appreciate your time, and we're going to have an awesome show.
I'm looking forward to it. We're having a little unexpected tech stuff, huh?
Right? I don't know why it's doing that. All right. So let's get started.
All righty.
Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, welcome, listeners. And I'm here with Juliana Ray, a mindfulness expert. How are you, Juliana?
I'm doing great, Sean. It's really nice to be here.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for your time. And we're going to have an amazing, amazing show. So a little bit about Juliana. Juliana Ray, founder of Unified Mindfulness, is dedicated to advancing the reach of Shinzen Young's comprehensive system through teacher training certification programs, empowering anyone to guide others in the mindfulness practice. She has been training others in unified mindfulness for 17 plus years. Juliana is also a founding member of the mindfulness app, Bright Mind. In addition to her work for Unified Mindfulness and Bright Mind, she creates on-site and online mindfulness training for enterprise clients through the Flourishing Leadership Institute. She also delivers keynotes, privately coaches executives in sales and leadership, celebrities, entrepreneurs, and trains company leaders in preventative healthcare and improving the work environment. Juliana delivers specific mindfulness strategies most relevant to the individual or company's needs. Juliana was drawn to mindfulness 20 years ago to manage severe anxiety and depression, as well as the dramatic emotional ups and downs of life as a professional entertainer. With over 100 weeks of immersive silent retreat training in both mindfulness and Zen, Juliana has racked up 12,000 plus hours a formal practice time, rewiring her brain and creating a new normal for herself. In a UCLA study comparing long-term meditators' brains with non-meditators, the result of Juliana's MRI led to interviews on ABC, Globo, and Reuters news outlets and about the benefits of mindfulness practice. Unified mindfulness has been used in research at Harvard Medical Center with breakthrough results and other major research centers. In fact, Juliana has just completed a mindfulness workplace research study with noted researcher David Creswell through Carnegie Mellon University. This study was a rare opportunity to design and implement a training program for a mid-sized company while having the results rigorously studied by Creswell's lab. That sounds amazing. Wow.
It was really cool.
And so today is your launch of Unified Mindfulness. How's it going?
Well, it's the launch of our foundations program, and so far so good. I'm feeling a lot of love, as a community, unified mindfulness community. We have been wanting something like this for a long time. Shinzen is an extraordinary teacher, and his style of the system that he designed is very teachable. I mean, it's comprehensive and it's thorough and it's very precise. You know, a lot of people who are drawn to meditation, who are interested in mindfulness, one of the real barriers is that oftentimes it's hard to articulate what it does, how it does it, what you need to do if you really want to develop the skill, and, you know, what it gives you clearly, what the benefits are and how it does that. So Shinzen has made that all extremely clear and explicit. So there's no confusion around those questions, or the confusion around those questions is answerable, which people often are kind of, you know, mystified by mindfulness or meditation. By the way, when I talk about mindfulness, I'm really speaking about, you could say that it's a way of approaching meditation that,
sure.
Yeah, that includes any meditation. It's just about skill development. You're developing a certain set of skills. And so we call this mindfulness meditation. That's what I mean. And yeah, so it's I'm thrilled to be able to offer people Shinzen system. And, you know, the training is for people, not only for people who would like to share it. So, for example, if you're in a helping profession, a social worker, a psychologist, you know, a coach, for people who would like to supplement what they offer with mindfulness, want to give that, or for people who really just want to understand meditation more fully and completely and take their own practice deeper, that's what the program is designed for.
Perfect. So it says that, you know, 20 years ago, you were drawn to the mindfulness to manage severe anxiety and depression. So
That's right.
That your why? Is this your why? Like, why do you do what you do? Why the mindfulness?
Yeah, I would say, you know, I was a professional entertainer, and that was a vocation also. Being a singer-songwriter was a deeply meaningful path for me. But what I found was that I still was living in a chronically unhappy mind and body, and I didn't see a way out. I was trying psychotherapy. I was trying medication with a C, medication. And I could see that at best I was going to be managing my condition, and that was really discouraging. When I looked at my future, I didn't see that I could get myself out of the hole I was in. If anything, I felt like I would just hover there and occasionally fall down and then have to pick myself up again. I just didn't see an alternative. And when I discovered meditation and mindfulness, I was dubious, but I was desperate. So I started doing it without any expectations, really. And, you know, for a while, I did it without a lot of training, and I did it for about half an hour a day. And I liked what it was doing. What it was doing was pretty subtle, but I liked it enough to stick with it. And it wasn't until I went on my first retreat with Shinzen Young that I had a breakthrough experience where I saw a way to shift the ecosystem of my body and mind to improve it consistently, so that I could reliably have a happier and more fulfilling and richer life. And so it was like I discovered that, and then I knew it was going to be a lot of work. I mean, it really is, you know, the training for me involved a lot of really boot camp meditating. but that's how you get strong. As with anything, that's how you get strong. And it's what I needed given how challenged I was emotionally. And I pulled myself out of that hole. And at a certain point, it was natural then to want to share it with other people because I had it to give. I had gotten to a place emotionally, psycho-spiritually, if you will, where I had the resources then to say, hey, you know, I can help you and you can improve your life to whatever degree you're able to. This stuff is only going to help. And, you know, so that began my journey. That became my new why, was let me help people. This is really literally saved my life, and let me help other people so that maybe some of those people will have the experience that I've had with it.
Yeah. So who was Juliana 20 years ago? Yeah. I mean, I'm curious. Who were you? Like, if you had to go back, like, what, like, who were you before you got to this point?
Yeah, I mean, I had a lot of natural gifts. I had great opportunity. I was one of the rare few that gets to live their dream at a level that most people, you know, only imagine. So I got a record deal on Warner Brothers, and I was produced by an iconic producer, a guy named Jeff Lynn from the band ELO. And I got to tour with opening for Don Henley and Stevie Nicks. And I toured in my friend Rufus Wainwright's band. And yeah, so I got some extraordinary opportunities. And in a way, that rescued me from the illusion that external rewards were going to do the trick. You know, it was like I had enough success to see that the success, you know, I kept on thinking, well, I'm not quite there yet. If there was only a bigger audience, if I was only playing this venue, if only this many people knew who I was, you know what I mean? I could see that playing out, and I caught on that I was, you know, going down the wrong track. And so good news is I was resourceful, and I also have always been good at long distance running, even though I was terrible at sports when I was young, but I could hang in there. I could run until I dropped, you know. It would be very slow. I wouldn't win any medals, but I could hang in there. And so that was one of the natural gifts I had, was just to hang in there. But, you know, I was deeply unhappy, and on the surface, nobody might have seen that. I had a lot of envy towards friends and their careers that I saw as, you know, being further along than mine, or, you know, and I was very consumed by unhappy thoughts and feelings, and also spent a lot of time masking that because I didn't want to burden anyone else with it, you know? So
I can identify with that, yeah.
Yeah, so basically on the surface, people might have looked at me and thought, oh, wow, she's got it all. She's, you know, so you've got, you know, this great opportunity musically, and, oh, you know, she gets these, I got nice reviews and stuff, you know, so there's a lot of, like, credibility around what I did, and so people might have been impressed on some level, like, oh, she's really made it, but internally I was chronically unhappy, and sometimes it dipped towards suicidal, and sometimes it dipped towards profoundly anxious, and the outside didn't necessarily reveal what was going on inside. So that was me then, and now it's, you know, sometimes I wish there could be a before and after with your inner experience. You know, like they have the diet pictures, that there's nothing like but I can tell you that like I said, this ecosystem, the inner environment that I walk around in everyday life, is, I could never have imagined living in this kind of a home, you know, the home that we carry with us everywhere. I just didn't know that this existed back then, and I wouldn't have believed it if someone had told me that sitting would, you know, that learning meditation practice would get me to this point. So it's a real radical shift then and now. Yeah.
So it sounds like if I had to pinpoint, or if you had to pinpoint what exactly your transformation was, it was that breakthrough that you had during the retreat and finding the mindfulness and Shinzen Yang and just applying every principle inside of that skill to benefit you as a whole.
That's right. Yeah. It was like, once I saw, you know, cause basically what I was doing, a whole bunch of, we had a retreat schedule where you're up at 5 a.m. and that's like lightweight. When you go on Zen retreats, you're up at 3 a.m. It really is boot camp.
Oof.
So, you know, you're up at 5 a.m. and your day finishes at 10 p.m. and the whole day is structured around practice. You know, when you're when you're sitting in formal practice, you're sitting, but also if you're doing walking, you're doing walking meditation. If you're eating, it's a meditation. So, you know, ideally 24/7 is devoted to developing that skillfulness. And about 3 days in, I really committed myself on that first retreat because I wanted to give it a fair crack. I was terrified. I had never, you know, meditated for more than half an hour a day, and I didn't know what would happen, but I just decided, oh, I'm going to really go for this and see what it can do. And 3 days in, I had an experience that was physiologically so powerful. That was what really surprised me. I didn't understand, you know, you can only see things through the filter that you understand the world through. So if someone says to you, like, for example, meditation will help you relax, you know, like that's a common one. Like, oh, okay, I get it. It'll help me relax. But you only know relaxation to the degree that you know it already, right? So what happened to me was that on that third day, I experienced a level of tranquility, a level of pleasant energy flow in my body, a level of emotional well-being that literally I had never known before. And at that moment, I saw, oh, this was because I applied those skills. I just followed the instructions, that's all. And I did it diligently. And this is the outcome, which means that I just have to keep doing those practices diligently, and this experience will start to be more frequent. And as it becomes more frequent, then I'll begin to trust that my old way of being was just a habit, it was just conditioning, and I'll be able to grow into this new way of experiencing myself and the world. And so I in that moment I got, oh, okay, I just have to be diligent about this, and I can like clean up my inner environment and make it a happy place to be, basically.
Yeah. So what do you think was the best part about your transformation?
Well, the best part about my transformation would be that I was no longer looking down the barrel of a gun when I thought about my future. I mean,
I was the same way.
It was like, oh, there is a way out of this. I didn't believe there was. And none of the resources that I had available to me, as helpful as they were, by the way, I'm not diminishing or devaluing any of the other resources that have helped me out over the years, because they've been profoundly useful. But if I hadn't found this particular resource, my life just would have been very different. And it would have been a lot more of a struggle, and I would have spent a lot more time deeply unhappy. So, you know, that I would say is the biggest thing. Just, oh, wow, there's something you can do to help yourself in ways that you never imagined were possible. So that never ceases to amaze me, actually.
Yeah, I think there's a misconception, though, about mindfulness. So, like, it's not just breathing. You know what I mean? It's basically a self-awareness of what am I thinking right now? Like what? Because our thoughts, feelings, and beliefs drive our reactions. Our thoughts, feelings, and beliefs drive our decisions. And the way we think and feel about certain things, they can have a negative reaction, right? But, mm-hmm. I mean, mindfulness just isn't breathing. You know, like I said, it's staying present. And it's more of a self-assessment, I think. You know, why am I thinking this way? Why am I, like, what am I feeling right now? Like, why am I feeling anxious? Like, what is going on? And I think that self-assessment is key. I really do. Mm. I think self-assessment is one of the best things that we can do for our lives. What do you think?
Well, I think that's a really wonderful way to put it. I would say that, a lot of people, they get stuck on the form, like, oh, if you learn how to meditate when you're breathing, when you're focusing on your breath, oh, well, then meditation equals focusing on your breath, right? But actually, meditation, whether it's kind of implied in the practice or whether it's made explicit, and one of the things that Unified Mindfulness does so well is to make explicit, it actually develops a set of skills, and those skills can be applied to any experience, from thinking to breath, to what you hear in the environment, what you see in the environment. And when you talk about self-assessment, that makes me think of the skill known as sensory clarity. So the ability to track and explore your sense experience in real time. In other words, you are getting to know how you operate as a system, as a sensory system. You're discovering, oh, okay, so that thought comes up and that triggers this emotion, and then that emotion causes this other thought to come up, and you start to become curious about that dynamic, those patterns. And because you're curious and because you're not automatically like getting caught in them, you are freer from them. You don't have to automatically say, oh yeah, this is, you know, I think this thought and therefore it's true, right? You don't have
right.
to get yourself caught in that trap that we so often get caught in our thinking patterns that don't serve us, that aren't productive, that are actually destructive, that hurt us, that hurt our relationships. So I think what you're speaking to is being able to get free from those types of patterned thoughts and reactions that then lead to behaviors that we regret or that really don't serve us. And yes, it's an incredibly powerful tool to do that, because you do two things. You examine it, like you said, you discover like, oh, okay, what's the dynamic going on here? What's the thought? What are the emotions? Oh, I'm noticing I have fear. I have anger. You know, where is it located? Oh, well,
right.
I feel it in the chest, right? So you're making this discovery, and then you're bringing acceptance, and that's the other really key skill,
yes.
Equanimity. So you're not judging yourself for having those thoughts. That's, people get caught in this terrible cycle where either they totally like throw themselves into the thought and just believe it 100%, right? A thought that's really detrimental,
right.
Say, to your relationships, like, you know, so-and-so is really trying to screw me or something like that, right? So you
right.
have that thought and you've got total conviction around that thought. So that's one way you can go. Another way that I've totally lost my train of thought just then. we were talking about equity. Oh, yeah. The other way to go is that you reject the thought, oh, I shouldn't think that way about so-and-so. What's wrong with me that I think that way about so-and-so,
mm-hmm.
you know? Right? So we're in this ping pong match with ourselves where it's like, I believe this. Oh, I shouldn't believe that. Oh, this is true. No, it's not true. And you're arguing with yourself. And in either case, you're missing that skill of equanimity. The skill of equanimity is, you're willing for that thought to come up and you don't need to empower it. You just notice
right.
it. You know, it's sort of like there's lots of crazy thoughts that come up in our minds. We don't
yeah.
have to give them, you know, we can accept that they come up. It's part of, you know, it's just part of being human. We have crazy thoughts sometimes, but do we really want to give that thought that much energy? Well, when we embrace the thought, we give it energy, but when we fight the thought, we also give it energy. And so learning
yep.
how to just be willing for that thought to arise without engaging around it and just permit it to come and go, trying not to judge it as good or bad, just something that, you know, comes up, it happens. That
sure.
skill of equanimity combined with the skill of sensory clarity, combined with your ability to focus your attention consistently. So that's the third skill, is concentration power, the ability
yep.
to stay with your experience long enough to notice these types of things, because we're so
oh, yeah.
busy and so on the go, and we don't even realize the patterns that are playing out unconsciously and how they're driving our behavior. We don't even realize all the conditioned
yep.
responses that we're just like, we're just going along with that aren't really helping us. So, yeah.
Yeah. So when I started this practice, you know, 'cause I became a resilience trainer, you know, I was like, I was like, what? And I was like, okay, well, let me try, you know, whatever. And I saw the difference. Like, there's so much in life that I miss on a day-to-day basis. I didn't even realize how much, like you said, you know, it drives our behavior. I didn't even realize why I did something half the time. It was just either it was
mm-hmm.
something I knew how to do, or it was because this is the way I've always done it, or it's just, I mean, so many different factors came into play. And when I became more mindful, either of my surroundings or of what drove my behavior or whatever, I could pinpoint exactly now, like, ooh, that was kind
yeah.
of uncharacteristic. Why is this happening? You know,
yeah.
and really calmed
yeah, track it.
Me down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really calm me down,
yeah, right.
instead of having all kinds of questions.
That's the key. That's right. It's amazing, isn't it? That clarity,
yeah.
what that can do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like, you know, you've got a desk piled with stuff, or you
yeah.
organize the desk, right? It's like, of course,
right.
you're going to be more anxious when there's stuff going on all over the place and you don't know what's hitting you, you don't know why, and right? I mean, it's natural.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you can start to track that and get that clarity, ooh, what relief comes from that?
Like and it's like there's like a weight is lifted, and when you can sit there and just be you for 5 minutes, you know, with your eyes closed, and you're just being you for 5 minutes, and just quieting the noises around you. Oh man, it is so powerful. So, what was the worst part about your transformation? What do you think was the worst part about it?
Okay, I've got that one. That's easy.
Okay.
You know, they say ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
So, you know, waking up, you know, in other words, like seeing things how they are, that's rough. You know, it's like, oh, you can't pretend anymore. You can't go back. You know, once you see what's going on, you have a sense of responsibility to yourself, and you have a sense of responsibility to turn toward the challenges that you might normally have, you know, tried to numb yourself around or found ways to avoid. And you know, the fact is that in order to achieve resilience at a deeper level, and me personally, now everybody's different, but for me personally, in order to achieve the level of resilience that I described earlier, there was a lot of pain that I had to turn toward. I had to, you know, condition myself to turn toward the stuff that I would have wanted to turn away from. And that meant that, you know, while I say that now I walk around and I am in, you know, it's just the tranquility and the energy and the well-being are just, you know, deeply accessible every day. But in order to achieve that, I had to turn towards some really scary, painful stuff and live through it again and again and again and show myself that I could live through it, show myself
acceptance.
That I could get to the other side of it. That's right. Exactly.
Yep.
Acceptance and working through it. You know, it's such a good analogy, you know, boot camp and strength, you know, increasing physical endurance, because there is an emotional endurance that you can increase. But in order to do that, you have to turn toward those emotions and embrace them. You actually have to get soft toward those difficult emotions like anger and shame and guilt. You have to love them. And that is not easy. It's not easy.
No.
So, and it's a daily process too, you know, some little part of you is going, man, well, I wish I had an easier life and imagining that, but you know, the truth is, maybe some people have it easier because they don't have the same kind of emotional ups and downs that I do. They're not, you know, they weren't, kind of handed that. But on the flip side, the fact that I have lived through that just has, it leaves me in a position where I'm so much better positioned to share with others because I've been there. I've been through the darkness and I've made it out to the other side again and again and again. And I'm here to tell you that you can do it. And so, so I would say that that's the flip side of it is, you know, in order to really see those changes for me personally, it did involve a lot of you know, very, very challenging, scary, painful stuff. So that's what I would say.
awesome. Any of the listeners want to call in since we're a live show and ask Juliana Ray a question? The number is 657-383-1109. The number is 657-383-1109. So let's turn the tables a little bit. Who has been your biggest influencer?
Wow. Well, gosh, I'd have to say Shinzen Young. He's the man. He's the guy who, you know, what I've appreciated about him is he made something that seemed so mysterious and sort of vague, if you will, and that was, you know, when I first got turned on to meditation, it was still considered like a real hippy dippy thing. I considered it a hippy dippy thing, and I'm a pragmatist, so I to me it was like, you know, I didn't associate myself with that type of stuff. You know, I didn't think of myself like as a crystal gazer, right? And I was sort of put off by anybody who seemed kind of floaty or flaky, or, you know, I was extremely dubious of anyone that seemed too groovy, or, you know. So
yeah.
What I really appreciated was when I first heard Shinzen speak, I was like, oh, this is logical. This just makes sense. And that gave me permission to explore it more deeply, because he presented the information in a way that was just so logic-based that I didn't have to, you know, my bullshit meter didn't go out. Oh, my BS meter.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can say that loud.
No, you're good. You're good.
Okay. Anyway, it didn't go off and you know, and instead it was like, oh, this guy's really making sense. He's speaking my language. So
right.
I felt instantly comfortable, and it never ceases to amaze me just what his approach reveals. It's like just so comprehensive. And so I owe a debt of gratitude to Shinzen as a teacher, but also for creating this unified mindfulness system that allows me to gain clarity. It's like beyond being a teacher, he really wanted to create something that was independent of him being around. He you know, he's recognized like, hey, I'm not going to be around
yeah.
forever. And he wanted to offer, like, he basically wanted to create the plumbing. You know, it's not a fancy role, but it's a necessary one. He wanted to create the infrastructure that people would be able to lean on well past when he's no longer on this planet. And that's what he's done. So I'm grateful not just to him as an individual, because he is a really unique and fascinating person, and you know, getting to train with him has been really rich, but
yeah.
also for the system that, you know, enables me then to have clarity around what's going on in my practice independent of him. So
sure.
that's what I would say.
Who has been your yeah. biggest supporter?
Well, my mom passed away 4 years ago. But I would say that, you know, she was, and who knows, maybe she still is.
Yeah,
I would
man.
Say that she, like nobody, was more fascinated with the ins and outs of my life. I don't think anyone would ever be as fascinated with the ins and outs of my life as my mom was. She you know, like every last little detail mattered to her. And I always felt
awesome.
That her devotion and her appreciation and her support. So just it is, I feel deeply grateful and fortunate to have known that with my mom.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So do you feel like your transformation is complete?
Oh, no. Are you kidding?
I think everybody feels that way. Like, I always ask that question. Like, do you feel like your life transformation, like your whole transformation, like, do you think it's complete? And everybody says the same thing, like, oh, God, no. No way. I've got so much more
dead,
to learn.
Right?
Pretty
much that's when. And before then, I've got work to do. Yeah, I mean,
right.
you know, what's great is it's such a humbling journey. You know, it's like the more you know, the more humbled you are by how little you know is pretty much how this goes. So
yeah.
anybody who you know, claims to be enlightened, well, that's the first key that they don't know what's going on. So, but you know, that said, boy, the journey, it just gets richer and richer. And to know that I'm set up to have that kind of rich journey, whether the externals are kind to me or not. So, you know, whether we don't know, there's like a question mark above all of our heads about what hand life is going to deal us at any given time.
Sure.
And to know that regardless, I have this resource that is going to help me in any case. Well, that's quite profound. And So, yeah, so the work is there. The work will always be there. And it's just a matter of, you know, how hard I'll have to work. We'll see. We'll see how those things play out.
Sure. So let's talk about where you're headed now. Today was your launch. This is launch day of Unified Mindfulness. Is that a coaching program, or is that just a mindfulness practice, a business? What exactly is Unified Mindfulness?
Yeah, so actually Unified Mindfulness is the name of the system, and it's actually the launch day of the Foundations program. And the Foundations program is a 30-day training that enables you to guide other people in mindfulness practice while going deeper in your own practice. So if you're someone who's ever considered developing a mindfulness practice, and you're the kind of person that really likes to take things head on and fast track that process, then this program would be for you. If you are someone who's in a helping profession and you have heard about mindfulness, and you know, maybe you're a coach or a yoga instructor or a therapist of some kind, and you would like to supplement what you offer with mindfulness practice, then this program is for you. If you're just someone who has a meditation practice already and you'd like to feel more confident about sharing it with other people, but you don't really have a clear framework to do that, and you'd like some clarity around how best to do that, then this program would be for you. So that's who this is designed for. And it's the first level as well. If you're someone who's thinking about becoming a teacher, it's the stages of a full-on certification in the Unified Mindfulness System. It can be if you want it to be,
That's
but it
awesome.
Doesn't have to be that. Yeah.
So. Yeah, I'll definitely be in touch with you on that, because I do, like when I teach my resilience, I do like one training a quarter, like every 3 or 4 months, and we do a mindfulness practice, you know, for soldiers returning to turning to the States from, you know, a deployment, or somebody who's going through a really hard time, we do mindfulness. Mm-hmm. And so, I think a lot of people could benefit from that. Absolutely.
Yeah. The way things are these days, it's kind of like you sort of have to glean it from the teachers that you've been exposed to and then sort of make your own version of it. Or you have to go for a deep dive into, like, you know, a major 1 year or 2 year or longer commitment. And so we saw that there was this group of people that were being underserved, people who, maybe don't fall quite into either category. They need a little more structure and support, or they would like a little more structure and support, but they're not ready to make a full deep dive commitment. And so we wanted to help those people. And I think, too, that this system enables us to do that because it's so – the pedagogy, it's, like, just very teachable as a system. So.
Awesome. So if you had to go back, would you change anything or would you do anything different?
Yeah, well, you know, actually, the first couple years of practice for me, I didn't catch on. Like, I didn't get – until I went on that retreat with Shinzen, I didn't really get how powerful it was. And, you know, I ran the risk of – I mean, I was consistent with it, but I could have accelerated my growth if I had caught on sooner. And now that I know what I know, you know, are you okay?
Yeah.
By the way, okay, good. Now I could hear it. Are you okay? Do you need a glass of water?
Oh, yeah. No, that's what I had. I was like, I got a bottle of water here. So now that you know what you know, you're empowered and you have the tools.
And it just says to me, like, if you're asking what I would have done differently, just, you know, more sooner, I just would have, knowing what I know, I just would have made that happen sooner. So.
So with no one's help, what was the best resource that you stumbled upon or that you found throughout your journey?
With no one's help.
You found this was like, this is awesome.
Well,
was it a book? Was it a resource? Was
no
it
no one's help? I can't imagine ever getting anything with no one's help.
Yeah,
even Yeah, that's a tough one, because I think I can think of little conversations that steered me, little odd one-off conversations that ended up taking me in a direction that then ended up leading to, you know, so I feel like there are always helpers, but you may not see them. You may not recognize them. Even someone's doing the thing opposite to what you need, and so you turn away from it and you find what you need. That person has been a helper, because even though they haven't helped you in the sense of encouraging and supporting you, they've helped you in, you know, you gaining clarity about what you don't want. And so I guess I look at it as just completely interconnected, which I know is not a very satisfying answer.
No, way good. So with that said, then who gave you the best resource that you used during your journey, and what was it?
Well, you know what I'm going to say.
I know.
all roads lead.
Yeah.
It would have to be getting turned on to my teacher. And that was actually kind of a fun story. I had been practicing for a couple of years, and I have started to have experiences on my own. And I guess you could say, you know, it was originally introduced to me by a therapist, meditation, but I just sort of stuck with it and took off on it on my own, but I didn't do a lot of reading and I didn't have a lot of support around it. And I started having experiences that I couldn't explain, and physiological experiences, little things. And I thought, oh, I probably need a teacher now, but I don't want to get a teacher that's the wrong kind of teacher, you know? So just around that time, a friend and her dad had me over to dinner, and I knew he'd been a monk, a Zen monk. So I thought, oh, he's a guy. I'll ask him. And I said, hey, do you know any meditation teachers? And he is the one that introduced me to Shinzen. So, he's kind of responsible for, and then 3 years later, I ran into him again, and he introduced me to my Zen teacher. So, who was also Shinzen's Zen teacher. So, basically, this one dude, really had a huge impact in my life in a way that I never would have imagined.
Wow. You never know. You never know who's going to be put into your life for a reason or for a season, for a moment. You just never know.
That's exactly right. It was pretty magical. Yeah.
Yeah. So here's your chance to shamelessly plug whatever you want. If you have a favorite food, a quote, websites, Facebook, favorite movie. Now, here's your chance to shamelessly plug whatever you want.
Well, I've already plugged the Foundations course. So my second plug will be Shinzen's book, The Science of Enlightenment. I would say if you love reading books and you're curious about meditation, as it connects to science, one of the things that he's big on is researching the effects of meditation so we can understand it better. And he wrote a wonderful book called The Science of Enlightenment that is beautiful. It's full of stories, which is fun because you get to know a little bit about him as a person. But also it's an interesting read for anyone who is curious about about the practical side of meditation, what it does, how it works. And so I would recommend that.
So as we wrap up, deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire somebody.
Oh, boy. I would say my best nugget of knowledge drawn from my own experience, is practice. I think of mindfulness practice as a better operating system for your mind. And once you understand that, you want to use it whenever you can. You want to be operating on that system whenever you can, because it just makes things go better. And, you know, I would say that the biggest surprise for me was how much better, how much richer your life is when the mind experiencing it is using a better operating system. So that would be my nugget of wisdom.
Oh, thank you for that. That's amazing. So when we talk about mindfulness, are there any techniques that you use more than the other? Like some of the mindfulness techniques that I do is like park bench, or my wife and I will go to a restaurant and we'll just look and see what kind of what everybody's ordering. We'll kind of not listen in, but like look at everybody and see what they're talking about. You know what I mean? And just watch people. You know what I mean? Like, and I think they call it the park bench technique. Another one's like see, hear, and feel. 3 minutes of mindfulness, see, hear, and feel.
So
is there one that you use more than the other?
See, hear, and feel is the unified mindfulness. See, hear, and feel is the unified mindfulness. that's our signature technique. So you're probably remembering
perfect.
That maybe from a presentation I gave. Yeah. So that's the one that we like to kick off for people because it enables you to do that park bench thing. It enables you to focus wherever you choose. So if you want to focus on, you know, observing your visual environment, if you want to focus on your breath, if you start by learning see, hear, feel, then that gives you an overview so that then if you want to tailor make a practice specific to either something you enjoy or something that's relevant in a given environment, then you can do that from there. It's a great launch pad, basically, for any other approach that you want to do. Yeah.
And you mentioned the presentation. So we met last May in Pennsylvania at the One Life Fully Lived conference. And and you came on stage and was talking about the mindfulness. And I was like, yes. Like, I was so hooked. I was like, this is what I do. Like, you know, kind of like validated.
Awesome.
Like, I'm not the crazy person telling everyone to be mindful because they have no idea what I'm talking about. And I'm like, breathe it out, bro. Breathe it out. You know what I mean? Like, it just kind of validated. I was like, yes. And then I got to be on a mindfulness panel with you and Rhonda Smith, who is an amazing woman, and Sam Cullinane. And so we were on a mindfulness panel in October at the One Life Fully Lived conference. Oh, man, like I was so honored to be in the presence of Juliana Ray. You know, like I'll tell my friends, I'm like, dude, like I'm going to be on a panel. Like she's so awesome. So I adore what you're doing, and you are so amazing. And so as we close, let's give a call to action. Like join the Unified Mindfulness or like give a call to action.
Well, I would say learn about these skills and start applying them. Practice, you know, find a way to practice, whether it's, you know, obviously I have some strong opinions about the Unified Mindfulness System and the Foundations Program. But regardless, I don't really care, to be frank. I want to see you practicing in whatever style is going to work for you. I just want to see people develop these skills. It doesn't have to be from me. The main thing is that they find their way to this practice and they apply themselves. That would be my call to action. Find your way to this practice and apply yourself.
Amazing. Wow. Thank you so much for your time and congratulations on your launch. I wish you the best.
Thank you. Thank you. It's my pleasure, Sean. Well, really fun to talk with you about this stuff. And I can really hear your engagement and your enthusiasm because of your own experience. And that's the thing.
Yes.
Experience is what it's all about. We don't need to ask anyone to believe anything. We just need to experience it firsthand.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Absolutely. So again, thank you for your time. Transformation
Wonderful.
Listeners, this has been Mindfulness with Juliana Ray. And if you love the episode, rate it because this show automatically uploads to iTunes. And so if you love it, learn more about her at Unified Mindfulness. She is everywhere. And in 2 days, on Wednesday, we talk with Tim Rode. So stay tuned for that. And remember to live your brand. Have a good night.